Ketchikan,
Kotzebue,
Dillingham,
Sitka,
Chugiak,
Fairbanks,
Fort Yukon,
Wrangell,
Barrow,
Unalaska, Dutch Harbor,
Alaknarechamute.
This is AK on Alaska News Nightly. I'm Dave Waldron. This week on AK, bison. Earlier this month, President Obama signed into law the National Bison Legacy Act, making the American bison the nation's official mammal. The unusual legislation has no other purpose other than to make bison, more commonly referred to as buffalo, another national symbol. Equally strange, Alaska has four bison herds of its own that were established years ago for no apparent reason. As Alaska Public Media's Ellen Lockyer reports, the president's endorsement sparks new interest in an animal that has survived for millions of years, despite near extinction.
It's a national icon like no other, evoking images of times past when great herds thundered across the Midwestern plains. The North American bison has graced the seal of the U.S. Department of the Interior for more than 100 years, while the celebrated story of its rise from the brink of extinction to recovery inspires the spirit. A small herd of these inspirational creatures briefly crashed a picnic of Alaska legislators and their staffers last summer on pasture land owned by livestock producer Todd Pettit.
Circle the cars.
Whoever parked on the end, I hope you have good insurance.
Don't lick my car.
They will lick cars.
They do.
Pettit, whose privately owned herd supplies his commercial meat business, thinks nothing of walking among the hulking beasts at feeding time. He gives one a slap on its rear end that sends the animal scampering off like a chastened puppy, all 1,000 pounds of it.
No, 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 go on, come on. Ow!
While Pettit's herd has been pretty much bred on his little pitchfork ranch near Palmer, four state-owned herds are living in the wild in Alaska. But why? Perhaps Darren Bruning, a Fish and Game regional supervisor, can answer that question best.
In 1928, 23 individual bison were translocated to interior Alaska from the National Bison Range in Montana. And they actually were brought by an individual, an enterprising individual, who lived in interior Alaska near Delta Junction, Alaska.
The Delta settlers back then wanted elk for hunting meat, but got Montana bison instead. From that seed herd, the territory and later the state established three others in the 1950s and 60s, one in Slana, one in Chitna, and another in the Farewell area of Iditarod fame. At first, they were just left on their own, but...
Years later, there was official effort, an organized effort to monitor the animals and track their population dynamics and their health and condition.
Pre-statehood, the practice of introducing species, Sitka deer, for example, to Alaska was not uncommon. Sometimes there were unintended consequences. Although the Delta herd thrived in its new home, decades later it achieved legendary status in the lexicon of Alaska boondoggles when a state agricultural project was established a little too close to the herd's range. For a while, it was buffalo versus barley farmers. Today, the state monitors the four wild bison herds to provide hunting opportunity for Alaskans, and there is an added bonus.
We have conducted genetic testing for numerous years on the Delta and the Farewell herds, and there has been no introgression of cattle genes detected. There's no reason to believe that the Chitna or Copper River herds would be any different since the source herd was the Delta herd.
Most lower 48 herds carry cattle genes. Because it was private conservationists who worked to keep the species alive during early restoration efforts. Despite its new lofty status as a U.S. symbol, the bison has no special federal protection unless it lives on federal land, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and there are no restrictions on privately owning an American bison.
Well, it's the best decision I ever made. I would never turn back from it.
That's Todd Pettit again. Back at his ranch, he tells how his family went from raising hay to raising milk cows until the decline in the valley's dairy industry forced them to get rid of the cows.
And I was happy to see him go. It was, you know, a lot of babysitting, a lot of pulling calves. And but I wasn't done raising animals, and so I told him I was going to go get some buffalo. And my grandpa, I think he was pretty happy about it, but my grandma, she was pissed. Well, he finally got rid of them cows, and now you're bringing on buffalo. What are you going to do with them buffalo?
It doesn't take much urging to get him to sing the buffalo's praises. He says, unlike dairy cows, they are suited to Alaska's climate.
The brilliance of a bison is, if there's something underneath the snow that has food value, they'll get it. That big old head of theirs is just a bulldozer, you know, and they'll dig down through 3 footed of snowdrift to get to it.
Bruning agrees.
They really have proven to be very successful in Alaska.
He says bison are engineered for the extremes of the North American continent, built to withstand both heat and cold, and massively robust and immensely strong. Today, most bison in the U.S. are in private herds, while the wild population is less than 1% of what it was in pre-colonial times. The bison's honorary designation does nothing to diminish the status of the bald eagle, the country's national symbol. Alaska has more bald eagles than any other state, some 30,000 of them, and now the two national and spiritual symbols share a home. I'm Ellen Lockyer.